That is my weak ass rendition.
We miss our old software.
We miss our old software. But it is GloucesterCast 268. Very special first time guest. One guest that has been with us before that we love.
Mm-hmm.
We have John Butcher with us. We have Aurelia Nelson from 104.9.
Good morning.
And my co-host, Kim Smith, is with us.
Good morning, Gloucester.
Yeah. John, you are a music legend. What year did you start in, like, your big fame, initial burst on the scene, one of the initial MTV stars?
That must have been Axis. That must have been my band, Axis. That would have been 1988.
And when did MTV launch?
It was around 82, 83, wasn't it?
Yeah, something like that.
So early 80s.
Yeah, my introduction to MTV came with some controversy, too. I did a video called Holy War. And in that video, which you can YouTube if you like, there was a popular TV evangelist who, I won't mention his name, but you'll see, who the record company decided to make a big banner of, and while I'm performing Holy War, it was set ablaze.
So that was controversial.
As a result, I got a few death threats, and when we would pull up to, I was on my tour bus one show in Texas, and I got off and signs and all sorts of, but actually it sort of worked out because it brought the band to worldwide attention.
Right.
Almost overnight.
Wow.
From then on, I was known as a writer of edgy rock music. And kind of brought me here. Good morning, Gloucester.
Just like that. What was some of the biggest venues? Like, what were some of the biggest crowds and what stadium? Like, do you ever play stadiums?
Yeah. We played, the most fun stadium I've ever played is Fenway Park. I did the national anthem a couple of times for the Red Sox.
Wow,
you can find that on YouTube as well.
Wow,
and there is nothing like the sound of 39,000 people saying anything at once.
Yeah.
If it's your name, it's even better. Right? So that was a gas and something I'll never forget.
Yeah. And we were speaking earlier, you're born a city of or town of
grew up in
70 people.
The town was called Liaho, about 90 miles from Fairbanks. My parents worked for the government at that time, and so that's what brought me and the family to Alaska. And I grew up sort of in a village of 50 people, and then wilderness everywhere. So my understanding of what the world was kind of limited to my dog and where I went fishing in a creek.
Wow.
And the guitar.
I
started playing guitar because I watched singing cowboys like Gene Autry and Roy Rogers on television, these old shows. Even then, they were old. But we got, our TV was 10 years behind. So I'd watch Roy Rogers on Saturday morning.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he's playing the guitar and he has the horse and he gets the girl. I went, that's for me.
That was your inspiration.
Honestly, yeah.
Wow.
Singing
amazing.
Cowboys brought me to the guitar.
To rock.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then you have to talk about full circle because you wound up scoring Deadwood, right?
I know. Yeah.
Deadwood, among and having influence on This Is Us. Do you know the show This Is Us?
It's like one of the top 10 shows
and out of like now with all the channels that there are, there's like a bazillion channels.
Right.
But
it's
like This Is Us is like an important, people are talking about that show amongst other TV shows.
But tell the story about Chris Pierce because you had Chris Pierce here at the Red Line a few years ago.
There's a singer-songwriter who lives in Los Angeles who is a dear friend of mine, and I look at him like my little brother. And I met him when he was 17, and now he's doing all these wonderful things, of which This Is Us is one of those things. He's the voice, a singer, and is it the intro song? I'm not sure the theme. In any case, my a relationship with him is something I really treasure, and my relationship with musicians and artists generally, which is why I'm so glad to be here. Gloucester is one of the most wonderful artist communities I've ever experienced, and I've seen many of them around the world. Mm-hmm. And this is a special place. And that kind of sort of mentoring and fostering of art is something that's special.
And this kind of dovetails with the concert you have coming up
yeah.
at the Shillelagh on April 20th.
Shillelagh
this
Performance
is going to be
Center.
An amazing show.
Rockport, Mass. I'm bringing a few of my famous musician friends with me. And we're doing a special concert that night that I think anyone who is in who's present will really enjoy. It's something special.
That's such an unbelievable venue.
Oh,
it's a beautiful venue.
It is
yeah.
incredible.
So how is it special? Like, what kind of...
I'm doing music from the entire span of my career, from my first records with Axis to some movie stuff that I did for the HBO TV show Deadwood, and I'm enlisting some of my famous musician friends to come with me. Cliff Goodwin from Joe Cocker's band and
wow.
a few other famous guys are going to be a part of that show.
Wow,
and it's something
so awesome.
Something that
April
anybody 20th? Listening to this is going to love. That's
April
20th.
Tickets? Are there still tickets?
There are some tickets left. April 20th.
Rockportmusic.org.
Yes, rockportmusic.org.
I'll put that in the show
notes. I'm running home before the podcast goes.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
No, it's
sure,
going to be
yeah.
a great show. And you know, the thing about Shillelagh is the sound is so lively, right? You just,
so
it just encompasses you. And John's band and John's expansion of, you know, 35 years, and kind of giving back. Like, when you talk about full circle, that's what I always think about with
yeah.
you, John. You know, you started in sort of like the waning days of the system, of the label system, right?
About that.
And now you're completely in charge of what you're doing, and you're able to pass all of that experience on to younger musicians.
The music business is nothing like what it started out to be, at least when I was involved with. As a musician, you grow up to hone your craft, you know, become a better singer or writer, whatever, and make a record that someone will want to buy and get played on the radio. None of that dynamic is happening now. There is no radio station to go to, per se, that will give you
Except,
a boost.
I'm sorry.
I was lucky because I came along. What I mean by that is
music stations.
Right.
Music stations.
Right.
The WBCNs
right.
don't exist
right.
in the way that they did. The game has changed.
Charles Lacordaire.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
We know what we're talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah.
So I was lucky to have
WBCNs.
Experienced the tail end of that. And now for young musicians, it's completely different.
Yeah.
They have to go about it. Yeah, they have the internet, but that's not, that's sort of a, it's a springboard, and it's also intimidating. Because where do you start?
Right.
Where do you begin?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Is the river at all, do they...
They do a little bit.
A
well,
little
this
bit.
Is so. This kind of dovetails into what we're doing at the station, our Famous After Four, where we're featuring local artists. In fact, John was on the first week that we did this, where every day in the 4 o'clock hour, we're featuring a local, you know, North Shore,
so
Merrimack
important.
Valley based. Yeah, and you know what else is really funny is that with all of this technology, people still get really excited about hearing themselves on the radio.
Oh, no,
you know,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
like
yeah, yeah.
it's such a part of our lives, radio, right? And so when people get to be part of this Famous After Four, they're like psyched. So I should give a little plug. If you've
yes.
got a band out there and you've got a high quality WAV file MP3, send it to famousafterfour@northshore1049.com, and you know, we'll look at it and see if we
can
get you on
can
the
I,
air.
One
I?
Of the few places that still supports music by musicians.
We're trying to
I
do
love.
It. That's
yep.
what we try to do.
Soul Rebel Project is coming out with their new album March 28th, I believe.
Yep.
They're one of my favorite bands.
We want it.
And they have a huge following. So
right.
I'm going to
what kind of music is it?
Kind of like ska, reggae ska.
Yeah.
But they're going to did their, I think it's March 24th or 28th. It's going to drop on iTunes and Google Music.
Well, definitely.
Yeah.
And you know
yeah.
what
awesome.
Else is interesting is that when you, especially, I know John can talk to this, which I think is so cool about the music community in this area, is that one band, say, you know, a band like Soul Rebel Project or What Time Is It, Mr. Fox or KMBG, they every member of that band represents four or five different musical projects going on, right? Yeah. So like you're seeing a band that has five members, and each one of those members are involved in four or five different projects. So it's just like a giant web
Especially in Gloucester.
Very tight community.
Especially
it's
a lot of these bands, like that Joe and Renee.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Renee Dupree,
They're in like five different things to happen, safety and all these.
And can I tell you, that woman's voice is like written on the stars. She has one of the loveliest, most flexible. She can do anything. She's got an amazing voice. Yeah. She's already been one of our Famous After Four people. We had her and Joe on Valentine's Week. We had them for Couples Week.
Brilliant.
So yeah, so we try and do some things. So in fact, John has, one of John's guests is this young artist named Quentin Callaway. And we'll have Quentin on just before your, to kind of give a boost to John's show. We're going to have Quentin on Famous After Four just before that.
I'm so glad you mentioned this, because like I'm always listening to NPR in the morning, like going to, you know, clients or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I'm not usually listening to the radio at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So.
Right. Well, it's a good drive time kind of thing. We wanted to put it into a time when people might be in the car picking up the kids, that kind of thing.
The other
thing that we're doing is we're keeping all of the cuts so that people can call and request them. So there's a band called 43 Church Street that did a song. I think the song was called This Is America. And it's a great song. And people have called and they're requesting it now. So we have in our request hour. So
I can't say how special what you're doing is. And how important it is to guys like me. And those musicians listening to this understand to get that support from terrestrial radio is so rare.
It's true. That's
as opposed to internet radio.
You know, it's true. And you know, it still has the magic. When you stay
104.9, their station is actually one of the only relevant stations around. Mm-hmm. I mean, for a big swath of...
We have to address, there's been a little controversy because we did sort of upgrade our playlist a little bit. We kind of got into this century. So we sort of moved from that old... I know, John. Uh-oh. But you know, there's some great artists out there now, John. You know?
I love a lot of new music.
And here's the thing, you know, here's the thing none of us like to admit. The oldies are getting younger. So I was driving, and I was like, "Oh, I heard the Goo Goo Dolls on the station. It's still 20 years old, you know."
I know. So we have to remember that.
So you know,
it's fine. So my daughters—you've met my daughters. Yeah, you know, 10 and 12 years old, and like I always want to introduce them to the. I grew up graduated in 85, 89 from college. You know, all this. I want to. There's so much
music that
like these albums from when so I'm like, I know that they've never heard and will blow their minds.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
We still offer some of that. We just added in some more, you know, some of the more contemporary stuff.
My wife is a photographer here in town. She has a photography club, Cape Ann Creative, right? Her young niece is 15 years old, and she is exposed to such a wide, diverse musical palette.
Right.
And I think it's helpful to growth to understand that the world is wider than whatever their most recent pop song is. And so I'm so happy to see young Sarah into discovering Paul Simon or discovering Led Zeppelin or discovering whatever it is.
Yeah.
And Lorinda had a lot to do with that because her family loves all that music.
Right.
And so she was steeped in it.
So, John, how are you working with I know you're doing your own music, but are you also working with some other young artists?
I absolutely am. I believe in paying it forward. And I'm working with young Quentin Callaway, who is a singer-songwriter. I believe he's 17. Is he 17?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
He's a talented acoustic guitar player and singer-songwriter. I'm producing his first record, and he will be with me that night at Shaolin Lu on April 20th. You don't want to miss it. This is a guy I know you'd like a lot.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's something else.
Jeez.
Can I just say, he's kind of an old soul, right?
I think so.
When you're talking about like Paul Simon, like he has that sort of presence of that singer, songwriter, and his musical choices, in addition to the stuff that he writes himself.
Yeah, for someone so young, he's drawn to a deeper, he hears a deeper message.
He does, you know? Like he picks up like Ray Charles, he does his beautiful Ray Charles cover, and some Glenn Campbell, like,
you wouldn't expect it.
You wouldn't expect it, right?
And he's great. He can play guitar. Holy cow!
Yep.
In fact, we do a duet for the record. He and I have done something. We are creating a video for it now. that you'll get a chance to see called Deep River Blues, and he and I perform it together, and it's a blast. You'll laugh. It's fun.
Yeah. But you also produce it. You have a production company now?
I do, called Electric Factory X. I started that in I lived in California for a number of years, and I began the company there as sort of a conduit for me to write music for television and film, and for video games and for commercial TV, everything, right? And when I moved back to New England and to the area, I brought the company with me, now called Electric Factory X. And myself and my partner, Leighton Wolf, are discover new music. We make music for film and television, and we are particularly interested in young creative artists mm-hmm. who have something to say.
Yeah. Now, you have been all over the world. I mean,
yeah.
John Butcher Axis, your band, you know, and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
The top of the heap. I mean, you top artists, like top selling, Grammy nominated.
Yeah.
Right. So, you've been all over the world, but you came and settled, put down roots in Magnolia, Massachusetts, Gloucester, Massachusetts. What was it about here? You could live anywhere.
Yeah.
You lived in California. California's a pretty cool place.
Pretty cool.
You decided to put roots down here. What was it?
My wife.
Yeah?
Yeah, I met her here. And she introduced me to Cape Ann and the greater Gloucester community. And I had never lived by the water before, as many places as I've been. And I was immediately struck and captivated. What's not to like?
Mm.
Then, after I got to know people, and got to be friends and make relationships with Fly Amaro and Alan Estes, you know, and my buddies, I realized I was home.
Mm. Some great places.
Wow.
You don't pick home. Suddenly you realize you are home.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think we spoke earlier off, you know, before we were recording about, you know, having an appreciation for this place. And, you know, this is a recurring theme. Kim and I have probably brought this up 20 times on the podcast, that every person that is born here should, even if you don't go to college, it should be required.
Mandatory travel out.
Mandatory travel for at least 6 months.
That's true.
So that you can have an appreciation for this place.
Right.
Because if you don't have anything to judge it by.
I still see it through new eyes.
Yeah.
I when I go over the bridge, for instance, to come into downtown, I notice that. I enjoy it.
Yeah.
I enjoy when the bridge goes up and I have to wait for a few minutes while the boat's passing. I mean, that's a time for me to stop what I'm doing and go, cool.
But every vista is kind of different.
Yeah.
Like the light is, like sometimes you have purple skies, orange skies, dark gray skies, like cloudy skies. Every time, like everything is a different painting.
I could show you pictures I've taken, and I'm no photographer, that look like I'm like, you know, acclaimed photographer, because it's there.
Yeah.
All I'm doing is snapping the shutter.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, we're lucky. We're very fortunate.
Yeah.
Tell me about your guitar collection.
Well,
it's his cast of characters.
Yeah. I have been in love with the guitar since I was 5. I told you I started playing because of Singing Cowboys. Right, so they played the guitar and they got the horse and the girl, and I went, that's the life for me. And ever since then, I'm in that, you know, I can't help it. I'm here I am, a codger, and I still, you know, a Stratocaster. Jeez, what year is that? You know? I have a wide collection. I don't like to be too specific because it's valuable, and I wouldn't want anyone to have any ideas.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, but suffice it to say, I still collect. I still enjoy finding rare instruments. In fact, I enjoy them now more than I ever have before, because I appreciate the work and the artistry that went into creating it. And
you know, we have a local guy here.
Yes.
Have you met him?
Huh? Yeah. I'm bringing some of those instruments, my friends, my cast of characters.
His cast, yeah.
To the Shaolin Lou.
Yeah.
Especially acoustic guitar. It's something I really, really like. I've got a Gibson.
He's doing it.
Yeah, I know. I can't help myself. I just recently got this beautiful Gibson Southern Jumbo, and it's Sunburst, and it's just magnificent. That's the first. I'll
he
be
talks about guitars. I talk about Weber. There you go. Yeah. Yeah.
We artists, all of us, enjoy and appreciate our tools. Do we not?
Absolutely.
I think we're all artists here, meaning creative. That's all it is, really. Mm-hmm. And in whatever way you are creative, the tools that help you do that are important.
Absolutely. Kim's camera.
That's right. Camera. My wife's camera.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we do.
Once I photographed the Jay Giles band at at Shailen Lou, and I sent the guys the photo. It wasn't Peter Wolf's
band. I know.
Jay Giles, the guitar.
Yeah.
And I sent them the photos, and I think their favorite ones were the ones I'd taken of their guitars that were like all
I know. It's terrible.
The family.
It's terrible. I still take pictures of my guitars. Isn't that awful?
No, not really, because I take pictures of my grills. I'm telling you. My charcoal grills. I know. Yeah,
I know.
Whatever your passion.
You have your own media.
It's embarrassing, but there it is.
Fantastic.
But if people follow you on Facebook,
if you go to my Facebook page, more often than not, I'll introduce you.
Tell me about your Hendrix show.
I haven't done that for a couple of years. We, meaning my brother Chris Martin, my pal, and John Anthony, the drummer, decided to make a record, which is an homage to Jimmy's songs that don't get covered a lot. So we did If Six Was Nine and a couple other cool Hendrix songs, coalesced into a record, and decided to tour behind that. And it was very successful. It's not something I'm doing this year because I'm really focusing 2018 and 2019 on new.
Yeah.
And the artists I'm producing and the stuff, I have a new record out called Two Roads East. It's available at iTunes, and we're supporting that right now. But the Hendrix thing was fun. Did you see that?
No, really. It was telling me it was amazing.
It was crazy.
She said it was unbelievable.
Well, I was never really a big Hendrix fan. It's kind of not part of my wheelhouse, really. But you introduced me to it, and then I got the album. So I'm driving around like, listen to Hendrix, right?
It was
just amazing.
It was fun.
Have you heard the new album with all his never previously recorded?
I'm aware that it's out, but I haven't heard it yet. I'm looking forward to hearing it.
So John, how do you? So when you put together a set for a show, and you know that people are buying tickets to John Butcher's show, and there are how aware of you are the expectation that of people to hear some of the class
something
you know,
they think
something
they came
that,
for
yeah.
I'm hyper aware of it in fact to try and as you might imagine to try and fit in. You know, several decades of music into an hour and a half is tricky.
Yeah.
You want to make sure that you play something that somebody wants to hear, in addition to stuff that I want to play.
Right.
So it's tough, but it's part of the process, and I enjoy it. I've been doing it for a long time, and this show will have a little bit of everything, from Axis.
Heard that beautiful song Wishes.
Yes,
yeah,
that was on one of my early albums. We'll be doing that and a couple others. Something for everybody.
Yeah.
If you like music, you'll enjoy this show.
God, we're going to go.
Yes.
What's the date again?
April 20th.
It's Friday, April 20th
okay.
at the Shallon Lou Performance Center for the Arts in Rockport, Mass.
Tickets at rockportmusic.org.
Yeah, get them now, though. I'm not sure how many there are available, but I know there's a few left. You want to... If you see nothing else that I've ever done, you want to see this show.
Okay.
All right. You got it. I got a link to a direct link to Rockport Music.
There you go.
I'll take my husband, Tom.
I would love that.
Yeah.
And we can do pictures after. I would like that very much.
Oh, great.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
That's fantastic. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for coming in. Anything you want to add and close it? Oh, wait. Do you want to speak a little bit about what's happening at 104.9?
Well, I did. I told you about the Famous After Four. I just wanted to get that out there to your base because, you know, I think our bases kind of complement each other,
absolutely, yeah.
And we're having a great time and, you know, got to come in one morning with Dana and Muggs.
Got to come in. it's always fun.
I want to thank everybody who's listening to this who welcomed me here and made me feel at home. It's so special to me. It's beyond just like, hey, nice place to live. I feel welcomed.
Yeah.
And all of the guys and musicians that I've met and Aurelia and the people at the station have made me feel like I have a place here. And I'm very grateful. Thank you.
Well, look at what you bring. Look at what you brought here. You know, it's
a couple of guitars and a song.
Everybody adds. Everybody adds to the mix.
Well, thank you so much
for
coming in.
Thanks very much.
Thanks for having us.
Had a great time.
Well, that was a energy-filled interview.
I thought it was fantastic.
He's a great guest. Aurelia is always a great guest. And I guess when you have someone that has that much fame and is that much experience performing... I mean, 35 years worth of performing on the biggest stages. When you come into this stinky little office in a fish company, it's not all that intimidating. You just let it rip. He's a professional.
He was in the parking lot when I found him. He was just sitting there.
Yeah.
He didn't think he was in the right place.
Oh, Jesus. I should have gone down.
No, he was expecting Aurelia to come.
Yeah.
But he's what nice people, and he's so humble too. Wow.
Very humble. Wow. Very humble. You know, it's as a physically, I've seen him around town, probably a dozen times in the last like 3 or 4 years or whatever. It's not however long he's been here, and every time you see him, it's like, where's that guy from? He's like, he's just like, he sticks out like a sore thumb,
Yeah, he has a great look.
He does. Yeah. Handsome man. So just to get back to, K-Ban Community Cinema sponsors the podcast. If you share the podcast, you have a good chance of winning 2 tickets to a show there. They at the top of Good Morning Gloucester, their schedule is always posted. And
do we have a recent winner? You've been gone for a while.
I've been gone, yeah. We haven't posted we haven't done a podcast in 3 weeks. But you can click in the show notes to go directly to their website. I should know this, but you can look on their website. They have a big event coming up, and I think our good friend Dave Marciano is going to be there, something to do with a fishing show or something like that.
All right.
Jazz Brunch at Feather and Wedge. Feather and Wedge has been doing these jazz brunches on Sundays. Go check them out.
We will never know about them because we're here.
Because we're here taping the podcast. Right. But they do a great job over there. I wanted to mention, something that's becoming more and more popular at different restaurants are carrying it. Like tuna, like chopped up with like some type of soy, like poke bowl.
Right.
I don't know if you call it poke or poke bowls.
I don't know,
but there are poke restaurants that are popping up. I think there's one in Beverly.
And it's raw tuna.
It's raw tuna.
Tuna, right.
And sometimes they do poke bowls with salmon and other types of fish. But I went to 15 Walnut the other day in Hamilton.
Yeah.
And I got the poke bowl there and... It is such, it was so tasty, and I ate it. It gave me a ton of energy, and you felt healthy and spry,
right.
You felt great
afterwards,
spry afterwards. Yeah. So I wanted to recommend the poke bowl at 15 Walnut.
So to say again exactly what it is, it's chopped up salmon or tuna.
Yeah, and usually they may have some rice underneath it.
Okay.
And maybe they have a little avocado on the side. This one had like some shredded carrots and some type of like usually soy-based dressing. I think the waiter told me what their dressing was, and it was sriracha and eel sauce combined. So spicy and sweet at the same time.
Wow.
It was really good. I actually asked for a little extra of the dipping sauce because it was so good. Yeah. So we've had 3 Northeasters in the past couple weeks. Is that what it is?
3.
I missed 2 of them, thankfully, while I was in Mexico.
Yeah, you missed the really bad one, right? The super bad one, the Riley one. Right?
But a big part of your life, a place that you spend quite a bit of time, is at Niles Pond.
Right.
Where
right.
Mr. Swan
right.
is a lot of time.
A lot of time.
And it got beat up pretty bad by that. Yeah. Is it the first storm got beat it up real bad, huh?
Yes.
And
no, but then it was the second storm. It was the Riley storm with the huge surge. Because that moon time lapse that I took?
Yeah.
That I took that the morning before the storm.
Oh, wow.
So it was a super, super, super high tide.
Yeah.
And so between the nor'easter and the tide, it just it just cremated the causeway, and that just
and the causeway is what is the barrier that keeps the freshwater pond protected from the ocean.
Right, I mean, and it's actually the narrowest strip of land in the world between a fresh body of water and a body of salt water. So even though it's a tiny bit brackish sometimes, because salt water does get in there, you know, especially in storms and stuff like that, it's considered a body of fresh water. And what will happen if that barrier breaks, and I've learned this recently from the Conservation Commission, is that is not going to turn into a salt marsh. That is just going to eat right through, and then the ocean will be right there at the edge of the pond. Uh-huh. And so then we would lose the road and access to the lighthouse, and so that is all being beautifully restored by RB Strong.
So you posted about it.
Yeah.
And you know it was in imminent danger of being breached.
Right.
And literally the next day you had footage of the RB Strong backhoe restoring it.
And also the drain is plugged too, so which is a serious problem. So they're not only just going to have to dismantle the drain, they can't do it right now when the water's so high, but they have to put a second, they're planning on putting a second drain in there.
And
so anyways, yeah. So
are there certain people on Eastern Point that are benefactors to get this done?
The Eastern Point,
very generous people, huh?
Eastern Point residents pay for this. They paid for the one in 2004. They pay to maintain it. It's private, even, and you know, it's posted private, but they're, you know, nobody shoos people away.
Right,
you know,
there's always
kids
ice skating sailing with their ice boats and stuff.
Right, and so then another tremendous problem is at the lighthouse. I don't know if you've had a chance to drive down there. There's no parking lot there anymore. I mean, it's just like...
boulders?
It's all just boulders. The road broke in between. You know when you're driving down, you know, when you're at the lighthouse and over to the left is the marsh and the cottage and then that road broke. So there's no place, you can't even like drive down there and turn around, really. You have to like back down and turn around in somebody's...
There's a Coast Guard station down there, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a Coast Guard station, but it's inactive. That Coast Guard station
Oh, really?
Right.
So that I know it's controlled in Boston.
Right.
The lighthouse is controlled remotely from Boston. So there's no one living in the house park?
No, it's been empty for like 5 or 6 years. It's terrible.
Because the Coast Guard, there used to be, our friend Danny Lubbers and Kurt Lubbers
used to live there.
They're friends of the blog. Right. They moved away, but they used to live there, yeah.
Right. That's
so sad that someone living there.
My dream and hope eventually is that the community will purchase the land or be given the land from the government, and we'll have like friends of the, like, you know, Thatcher Island is, they have their Friends of the Lighthouse and they maintain it, and then we could restore the wildflower fields around there that are just, you know, they're just, everything's just getting, it's
scraggly.
Either grass or just overgrown, you know what I mean? Like, it would be...
Does anyone cut the grass at the...
Yeah, people cut the grass, and unfortunately, like, when they were cutting the grass, it was the, you know, that late great monarch migration that we had, there weren't any more wildflowers blooming, so all the monarchs that were pouring in were drinking nectar from the dandelions that were all over the lawn, because dandelions are really, you know, actually a beneficial plant. The lawnmowers were there, and as they're mowing the lawn, and I'm begging them, could you please come back tomorrow because the monarchs are here, because there weren't enough wildflowers for the butterflies, and it and all the butterflies left that day, so unfortunately, because they would have stayed for a little while if there were things.
So really,
yeah,
for the monarch's sake, we should get the grants and maintain the thing there, so we could keep to it.
Well, you know what?
Everything comes back. You realize that everything in your life has an ulterior motive to save the butterfly.
Well, listen, you know, Paul Saint Germain, who is president of the Thatcher Island Association.
Yeah.
Well, he asked to borrow some photographs, and in exchange, he gave me a membership to the Thatcher Island
Association.
Yeah, so they're doing all kinds of great things there. So I'm going to study how they do things.
Oh, cool! That's nice.
So that way, then we can perhaps apply that information to at some point, because I just don't, I just want to see our lighthouse preserved as it is, and keep the wildflowers and just
keep it. I just can't imagine them letting it go to pieces.
Yeah, I don't. Well, also Mass Audubon owns the parking lot, so I'm just. I don't know if Mass Audubon takes it over. I don't know. Like
you, you don't like them. Do
no,
you?
No, oh no, that isn't true.
So, what is the problem?
I think it would just be better if it was like Thatcher Island Association, if it was run by the community. You know what I mean? For example, in Thatcher Island, 1/10 of it is run by the lighthouse
mm-hmm.
community. 9/10 of the rest of the island is controlled by Mass Audubon. So that's what I would like to see there. Like Mass Audubon, you know, take care of their land there. But I want to have like public access to the lighthouse. People could go, you know, okay, you know, at some point,
yeah.
It's not all the time because we have to be respectful of the residents and stuff like that. But, you know, occasional lighthouse tours and, you know, stuff like
yeah.
that. So,
just, you know, I think we always talk about like, these projects need to be sustainable.
Right.
You know, because we know
right.
some that are
right.
there
well,
are very, you know,
lofty
ideas
but,
then,
but,
you know. They
but
go,
look at how Thatcher Island and, you know, that association has been managed beautifully and sustained
mm-hmm.
very well over the years. So,
yeah.
I think
actually, better. Like,
right.
I think they've
right.
actually gotten.
Right.
It seems like they've done more there.
They're building
the
a boat ramp.
Yeah.
I think it'll be finished. I think people are going to be able to access the island much
yeah,
better.
Yeah, that would be
this
a
year.
Great, like, you know, on like a weekend day where, you know, those lazy days in the summer, you really don't have anything planned. It'd be nice
yeah.
to take the kids out there.
Oh, you! It would be so awesome.
Yeah, they'd probably love that.
I've never been.
I haven't either. Yeah.
I am dying to go.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know who? You know who used to go? That remember Adam Bolonsky? He was
yes.
a friend of the blog.
Yes, he's actually invited me a couple times to kayak over there with him, and I'm like, gee, I don't know. I have to like practice kayaking a
drone,
little bit.
You know, there's always, like it's the perfect place for like drone footage and stuff.
I know.
Well,
KPN-TV did a nice, Eric Archer did a nice film with drone footage over there. Yeah.
It's not KPN-TV, 1623
oh,
Studios.
Oh, sorry, 1623 Studios. I haven't been over there, have you? Have you been seen the new studio? I haven't.
No, I haven't. I was there talking to Eric about the rebranding.
Okay.
But I don't know.
Yeah.
All I know about was the rebranding. I didn't know that they...
Yeah, I haven't been over there.
I know they have a podcast studio or not.
Yes, they do. I have seen that.
Yeah.
It's very fancy.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, and they record it. It's a podcast, and they also do a recording of it at the same time. Like,
a video of it?
Yes, a video of it.
That's
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. If I didn't have to be here, I would love
yeah.
to take them up on that.
Yeah.
Kate, oh, so speaking of podcasts, right?
Yeah.
You know how we do our podcast, and it's you know, we banter back and forth and stuff. Podcasts have been around for a long time. It was like when the iPod first came out.
Oh, really?
A long time ago, probably like 15 years ago. Like podcast was supposed to be a big. It was music, iTunes, and podcasts were supposed to be a big thing. But podcasts really haven't taken off
oh,
that much
right,
until
right.
like the last 3 years
yes,
and a big part
yeah.
of what took them off and got them noticed, and Kate just started to get into these type of podcasts. Have you heard of the Serial podcast?
No.
Haven't
like,
heard of it
like
at all?
Serial?
Haven't heard it mentioned?
No.
Serial.
Okay. No.
Serial podcast like kind of it seemed like 3 years ago or so. Just that iTunes, like, they kind of hid they put their podcast app separately. They made it very difficult to find podcasts. It really became on the back burner. But at the same time, this podcast came out called Serial. And what it was this reporter, I may have some of the details wrong, but this is what I know of it through Kate.
Okay. Right.
And I listened to 35 minutes of one of the podcasts,
okay.
and it is unbelievably intriguing.
Really?
So what it was a report. There was a 1998 murder,
right.
and very basically murder mystery, not a real murder, but it was like trying to solve the case. This reporter
right.
trying to put the pieces together gathering audio from the actual interviews with the suspects, you know, going out, walking, like where, piecing together the police report and trying to figure out, you know, all the inaccuracies in the different stories and stuff like that. It is riveting.
Really? Wow.
It is riveting. And well, it's, you know, so it goes on in like, so when it gets got released, it got released like in parts, like so weekly episodes. So like they leave you in a total cliffhanger and you have to wait for the next week for the next episode. And they release it. And
so, but can you listen to it now all together?
You can listen to it all together now. And since then, they have different cases.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
So, after you get done with Good Morning, the Gloucestercast, go check out Serial. Okay. Like, and for you, for that drive into Cambridge.
Yeah, I would love it.
I'm gonna tell you right now, you would love it.
Yeah.
But that Serial podcast actually put podcasting back.
Into
a lot of people have podcasts now. Mm. Now there's a bunch of podcasting has seen tremendous growth in the past 2 years. There's the Joe Rogan podcast. There's a bunch of them. But it's becoming, it's not mainstream yet, but it's becoming much more mainstream than it was.
Are most of the podcasts that you listen to, are they mostly talk shows or are most of them like this more serial oriented?
I've only listened to 35 minutes of one episode of Serial. Okay. But I can see how unbelievable that would be to listen to. Yeah. And if you had like a long flight or if you had a long road trip, this is like way better than books on tape.
I'm trying to remember if it was all Charles Dickens, but you know, his books were, one of his books, I'm sorry, I can't remember which one it was, that was serialized. And it's always so interesting to me that he gained so much popularity in this country because of that. And it would be just like, that people would be waiting on shore, because the segments had to come from overseas, England.
Brilliant,
You know what I mean?
Marketing, brilliant.
It was like, you know, so that's your story about Serial is reminding me of that. Wow, there's something to be said about that,
I listen to a couple different podcasts, and they're mostly comedy, some basis in comedy, and Tony Kornheiser is one I've listened to for probably 8 or 9 years,
religiously. Is he comedy, or is he sports, or...
He has a sports element to him, but he has a show on ESPN with Mike Wilbon that's been probably 20 years. But his podcast is based out of like where his in Washington D.C. and he has like very similar to what we have. He has but much more famous guests like reporters for the Washington Post, movie reviewers. And then you know sports, so all these different things, and he has a producer. There's like 5 people in the cast of the podcast, and you know they have a like a funny news segment. You know what I mean? So there'll be some kind of topical thing that they'll just pick apart and make fun of, and this is recurring. Like we have recurring themes that you know we go back to, and it's so once you get into it. You kind of like, you look forward to that kind of familiar humor and stuff like that. And, you know, and his personality, like, you know how like there's my, you know, oddities, like my fear of dogs and stuff like that. Like he has like, you know, he has like this, you know, like this, his own personality of like, you know, he's a famous guy, but like really doesn't like to go to like big parties and have to like talk to people, even though he's this grand, you know, on the podcast is this grandiose like funny guy, you know. So there's just, you get to know the people, just like people know your personality and your, you know, what may be your quirks and my quirks, and everybody has quirks, and over time listening to the people, you know, we make fun of each other and it's all in good fun, and I think people relate to that stuff anyway. Geez, we went really on a tangent there, didn't
right.
we?
Right, that's all right.
The snowy owl is still around?
Well, I'm pretty sure she is. She has left the hotel because they're working on the hotel roof now. Okay. So she's left the hotel, and she was flying later and later at night. But a friend has seen her on this side of the hill. So,
what's that mean on this side of the hill?
Like,
on the harbor side.
On the harbor side, like she flies over the hill. She flies over the golf course, and every night we would see her leave the hotel and either head out to the water or head over the golf course. So, I think she's.
What if she goes out to Thatcher Island?
Well, she could. At one point, I did think she was going out there. Really.
I meant 10. I meant 10 pound island.
Yeah. Oh, good point.
There's so many, you know, different migrating birds. There's the bald eagle there now.
Right. Because
we have the egrets out there.
Well, there's also tons of birds that they eat, and because they eat those little ducks and the shorebirds that's interesting because she sees him flying up from your building, from your area. This is a couple hours after sunset, so I would love to find out. I would just love to get, because I'm making a little tiny short film, not a big huge project, but I'm making a tiny little short film about her, and I would just love to see where she's hunting.
All the creatures that you focus on, I think they'd probably be the most interest in the snowy owl.
Yeah. This seems
to be like people really like
Hedwig. I'm like, gosh, it's really, they love her. They really love her.
I have to ask you a question now.
Right.
Are you upset with Pat Dalpiaz that she had the audacity to name the Croynes Beach the Salisbury Beach one, Sal?
No. Is that his name?
She calls him Sal. But I was like, I told her to tread lightly. Because Kim is the keeper of the snowies, and she may find it offensive that you had the audacity to name one of the owls.
No, but I didn't know about that, but I am worried about the Salisbury Beach one because there's a lot of photographers there taking pictures, which no matter what anybody says, that causes the animal to flush. And they fly low, and it's gonna get hit. I'm worried it's gonna get hit by a car.
Well, did you see the picture that she took?
No.
Okay.
No. Okay.
See, Sorry. She took a photo of a snowy. I'm not sure if it was the Sal.
Sal, right?
Or if it was the one over here, but it did flush, and it literally the picture is of it going between two cars, and it's the second half of the. The snowy owl. So you see exactly what you're talking about when they do fly. It's a perfect example of exactly what you just said. Yeah. It flushed, and it's flying so low between two cars that it's at bumper level. Right.
Yeah, it doesn't know.
You should look at that picture just for reference. Wow. You know, it'd be a perfect photo for you to reference when you're talking about safety of the snowies.
Right. Yeah. Oh my God.
Well, it's not yours, so maybe it's not good enough for you to reference.
Oh my God. You're stirring the pot.
I joke. You know, I joke. But you think it's still around, though?
I do.
I haven't seen it. Yeah. And you know, I drive the back shore every day.
And you're the one who, because, you know, I was looking in Crane. I just wanted, this is what happened with the piping plovers. I just wanted a little tiny bit of footage to go into my bigger, you know, wildlife documentary. And then the piping plovers became a whole another story 2 years ago. And then the same thing happened with the snowy. But you're the one who told me originally, while I was up at Crane's, you said, there's one right here on the back shore.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, we were seeing it every day. Yeah, and you're like, you're driving up to Crane's, like 35-minute drive, and here it is in our backyard. I'm like, came literally two football fields from your house. Right there, yeah. Yeah, no, I have not seen it.
She was there last, so the storm was, what day was the storm on Tuesday?
Tuesday, yeah.
She was there Monday. Okay. And so she did something unusual. The wind was very, very strong. She flew out, and then she flew back. Mm. And I'd never seen her do that. So I don't know if she was having a hard time orienting which way, you know, things were going. But it was so dark, I didn't see, you know, like, you know how there's all the little shorebirds sleeping, like, along the water's edge or just out in the ocean?
Yeah, yeah.
You could see her, like, on a successful night, she would just fly right off the roof from far, far away, boom, into the water.
To get one of them,
pluck it out, and come back to the rock, and it would be half gone by the time you would run up there. You know what I mean? It was like, oh my gosh, she's an amazing hunter. They really are amazing.
Those talons. So,
yes, they're...
It's just ridiculous.
Ridiculous, it's right.
Black, it's like something out of a Game of Thrones movie, though.
Well, you know that guy, Norman Smith, who does rescue, so we owl rescue for Mass Audubon for like, 20 years, he doesn't even use gloves when he handles them because he's like the snowy owl whisperer, and I guess their legs are kind of fragile. You can break their leg if you're handling it, so he doesn't even use gloves when he's releasing and capturing owls. Anyways,
yikes! He's the one that moves them from Logan.
Logan, yes.
They're known to like get caught in the turbines.
Well, and then and people were killing them prior to that, so.
Oh, so it's better to remove them than to have them get smoked. Yikes! But Niles Pond is getting restored. Tell me about Mr. Swan and the young swan.
The Mr. Swan is doing great. Everybody's been seeing him. He's feeding beautifully. And I haven't posted about this, but he doesn't have a limp anymore. He does. His gimpy leg seems to have healed. So
We had up until March. We got through February with relatively mild, nice weather. Right. And I said to Kate that I'm like, a couple of years ago, I remember, I jinxed it and we got all the way through January and we was like, wow, we're going to cruise through this winter. We only have a couple of weeks left. And then we just got blistered. And it seems like that's the pattern right now. But really, we are.
We did have a very mild February, I thought, oh, that's great, because when we've had mild winters and then a mild spring, we have a lot more insects, a lot more butterflies, a lot more birds. I mean,
that storm, the latest Northeaster, when we got they predicted the 19 inches, how much do you think we got?
Snow?
8 inches?
Yeah, I don't think
maybe
we got,
8, right?
Yeah, I don't think we got
7,
19.
8? Anyway, there was... But the wind and the snow while it was happening, it was an extended period of time. There was my neighbor, Hannah, has like 10 bird feeders. I don't know, maybe a couple bird feeders, but it seems like 10 bird feeders. And there was just an incredible amount of bird activity, small birds, ducks, crows, everything.
Everybody was
there's a ton of birds that are around right now.
Right now, yeah. I noticed that too, the shores are just filled with migrating shorebirds. Yeah. The spring migrants are starting to arrive. Like about 3 weeks ago, the red-winged blackbirds started. You could hear their beautiful songs in the marshes and mourning doves. And they're all starting to mate also. So there's a lot of
busy.
Activity.
They're getting busy.
That's why we haven't seen the coyote. Remember the coyote that was out a month ago, they were acting very aggressive, the ones that were out in a local field. I think they mated, and now they're, denning, right?
Yeah, I don't hear them that much right now.
Yeah, right, you don't hear them. Yeah. I think they're settled into their, little...
Their little love nests.
Love nests, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, that's pretty well. I wanted to say this, because... Wednesday, the second day that the kids had off from school, I was, first day you have off with the kids at school, everybody's really psyched and for a school day and stuff like that. The second day, after the kids are in the house the whole day and just going out to shovel or play in the snow for a little bit, kind of get a little stir crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to say, I told the kids, I'm like, let's go to Mile Marker Pool.
Right.
It's a great go-to when you're stir-crazy in the winter.
And
we go all the time.
Oh, you do?
But,
because I hear Nicole always glowing about it.
If you have children, it is such a brilliant thing. I talk about it all the time, but I just want to mention this. I was almost reluctant to go because I figured it was going to be a mob scene.
Oh, yeah.
We went there. There was literally only like 6 kids in the whole pool.
Oh, wow, fun.
We're there from 1:30 to like 4:30.
Huh.
The kids had a ball. I say it all the time, but I can't stress it enough.
Huh.
If you're looking for something, if it's cold, freezing cold out, like a day like today, would be a perfect day to bring your kids to mile marker one, the aqua room, and relax.
And they have great food. You don't have to be a member. It's just
no. It's like $10 or something like that. You pay as you go. Inexpensive for the time that they're going to have.
And you can have fun food while you're there, right?
The food is fantastic. The chicken fingers are real chicken. They're not just chicken parts all pressed, glued together. And the nachos are phenomenal. The burgers are phenomenal. Great. The beer is cold. It's fantastic. It's great. I want to get to the most important part of our podcast. I know we had world-renowned, Grammy-nominated John Butcher on.
Yes.
But for our purposes, you are getting a big-time award from Salem State, a Friend of the Earth Award, which I imagine to you there could be no more appropriate, but like, but you know, like nice that recognition than for all the stuff that you do. That's probably the most important work you do.
I mean, it's the most humbling and most touching, or I mean, I'm profoundly touched by getting this award. And Olivia was my daughter. When I told her, she was like, "Oh, Mom, that's you. That's there's no perfect other name."
Oh, absolutely.
For you. And it was just, I'm just so. So I'm also creating a special program for that night for the award, which is a little nerve-wracking because you have to receive an award and give a little program. But I'm making a shorter Monarch program because usually my programs are like an hour and a half, and this is just going to be 45-minute, just specifically more on Monarch conservation and things like that. But it'll be all photos and things like that.
So, oh, it's going to be specific to Monarch. None of your other work?
No, just specific to Monarchs. Okay. Yeah. So, anyways, it's really, I'm very,
you should be proud.
I don't know what to say.
Really. Yeah, no, that's a recognition you totally, yeah. We were talking before before when John and Aurelia were here, before we started recording, and, you know, the amount of work that you put in, and I know it's a labor of love, and we talk about this quite a bit on the blog,
yeah.
But, like, there really is no one else. There are, and what my words to John and Aurelia were, there are plenty of people that consider themselves wildlife experts, and they donate time to the, you know, whichever Audubon or, you know, up in... all these different organizations that have to do with nature around and locally. But there, I don't think that there is a single person that has put out the amount of daily information. You are up every single morning. You go to these spots. You document in photos and words your own photos. And like they say, and it's so true, a photo is worth 1,000 words.
Really,
you're
is.
Posting a ton of them. And there are so many people that have these doctorate awards in nature or whatever, and they consider themselves experts. And what seems to be, and many are very knowledgeable and stuff like, and they are very knowledgeable. But what I am saying is a lot of what some people say are what they have heard or read and studied in books and get regurgitated. And a lot of it is true. And a lot of it is factual. But there are quite a few times that I find through your writing that in your many years of doing this, that there are certain things that get repeated and restated as fact that are simply not true from your firsthand accounts. And that tells me, you know, how important the work that you're doing is and how deserving you are of this award, because no one is getting on a daily basis the amount of firsthand information about the nature in this area, which is so important to so many people, than what you are providing.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, thank you.
Well, you know it. I mean, you don't have to. I'm singing your praises. You don't have to sing your praises.
Yeah,
I'm singing your praises.
Yeah,
I mean, we have a lot of great photographers.
Yeah,
we have a lot
do.
Of people. But no one on Good Morning Gloucester or no one in this community is putting in the time and doing the reporting that you are doing.
Okay, well,
so.
Yeah. I love it. And I you know, I think eventually the photos and the words are helping me form the films.
Right.
So it's like note keeping for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's a wonderful, I love sharing. I love, you know, everybody understanding, because, you know, like for me, like I got into it from being a landscape designer. And then, like, as you're, when you're a kid, you don't know about this beautiful movement of life that goes on all around you every single day. Yeah. And especially, you know, where we are on the Atlantic Flyway, or if you were on the Pacific Flyway or whatever, you just become, I think you become hyper aware of it, because it's like just this beautiful, beautiful movement. And why is it happening? When is it happening? What is, it's just a beautiful story.
See these patterns. You can recognize these patterns.
Right. And it's just this, it is unfolding all around us. Mm. And like, for example, like in my Monarch film, you can see where, you can see the line where I filmed on Cape Ann versus where I filmed in Mexico, because the light is so extraordinary on Cape Ann. It's like, it goes from lightness almost to darkness, even though it, what happens in Mexico is beautiful, how it unfolds. But there's, so behind the backdrop of all this thing unfolding is what we were talking about earlier, like how beautiful it is around here and the light.
The golden hour and everything else. Like how,
right, how unique it is, uniquely beautiful it is here. So it's a beautiful story to tell. And I'm really, I am grateful in a lot, in many ways, to you who have provided this, the vehicle of the blog, because, and you always strive to keep the blog positive. I know that we, you know, sometimes we deviate or whatever, you know what I mean? But the main goal of the blog is to keep it all positive. And that has been a huge lesson for me, like just making everything positive, like to every, you know, shadowy or bad thing that's happening, even in, you know, in the natural world or whatever, there's a way to shine a light on it, to make a positive, and to help people see, you know, how they can help or what they can do or whatever.
You have a choice. Your mind can go to darkness, or your mind can go to light. There are people that their mind resides in negativity, the half glass empty people, or it's really a choice, a half glass full, and
my husband's a half glass full person too.
That's so fantastic.
I'm very lucky.
But through your work, which is really nice, you know, and through the vehicle of the blog has provided a way to get this film funded. How are you doing as far as the funding?
Is it still
ongoing, the fundraising?
I have not been doing any fundraising because I've been editing. So I haven't talked to you about this at all. I'm sending a letter out to all the contributors. And that letter is actually going out today because I just had the time to make a whole list. I've had a tremendous setback with the film where the hard drive that I have put all the footage on, the beautiful migration. Well, it started with St. Peter's Fiesta, the beautiful migration, piping plovers, crashed. And so for the last month, I've just been in hard drive hell and trying to recover the footage. So it's been to all the local filmmakers and editors, and everybody around here has been just tremendously helpful. And then Friday, I just made the decision to send it to a hard drive recovery place in Wisconsin that the guys at MacDaddy, Thad and Frank,
recommended them.
Yeah, they have used this because I've been working with them as well all along, and they have been very, very helpful. And this is somebody they use all the time. So what happened was, like, usually I would copy the footage, but because everything happened back to back, St. Peter's, then all of a sudden the piping plovers were being born, then all of a sudden we had this amazing monarch migration that we haven't had for like five or 6 years. So it all just, I just kept putting it on the same hard drive. And then I had just spent the last 2 months eliminating all the bad footage for the monarch, you know what I mean? Because I can't copy the amount of footage that I take. So I had to eliminate it all. I don't want to get too technical.
I can't imagine the knots in your stomach.
I can't imagine. Yeah, like it is that it's been going on for a month. I've just been a ball of knots because I'm sure. Yeah, because, and Tom's so understanding. He's like, knows how super stressed I am. But it's like, it's really, when it's 9 months worth of work. So So anyway, so I'm not doing any fundraising right now. I'm just trying to. And in my letter to all the contributors to the film, I'm telling them, you know, don't worry. I have a beautiful rough cut that I created from previous year's footage. I would just give anything to be able to include some of the beautiful things that were captured this past summer. So,
wow.
So, I didn't want to tell you about that bit about it while you were on vacation and, you know.
Oh, my stomach is doing somersaults right now.
Yeah. So, anyways, it's just like.
Good luck. I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
I know how much passion and hard work you've got into that thing.
It's just.
It's everyone's. It's any videographer or film person's worst nightmare. And you always take precautions, and it seems like you could have double, and it still happens.
And you still happens. And you know? Like Nubar, who was so helpful, he spent like 3 hours with me one day, and that's a huge amount of time for an independent filmmaker to sit there with you, trying to recover it. And he quadruple copies things like.
There's gotta be ways.
It's just so expensive. I know.
The way you guys, the frame rates and the things, four terabyte, you're shooting,
4 terabyte, 6 terabyte hard drives all over my office. You know what I mean? It's like, because I do have the Monarch film is the footage that up until 2017 is all backed up. The film's all backed up. You know what I mean? But. And that's 6 hard drives right there. Yeah. So, anyways. Oh, but it'll, you know, everybody just be very positive and hopeful.
All right. Fingers are crossed.
Fingers are crossed.
Well, at least you get the little buffer with the notification you're getting. Yeah. The Friend of the Earth Award might temper a little of your pain.
So I was reading a prayer the other night, and it was like, Mary, friend of undoer of knots, and I was like, oh, that's who I'm praying
doing
to.
Doing the rosary. You know. I just want to give a shout out to Fred Shrigley at the Rum Line, who year in and year out is just the man. St. Patrick's Day and supporting local musicians.
Yeah.
I want to give a shout out to one of our first contributors on the blog, Mike Lindberg, who plays in the band that plays at the Rum Line every St. Patrick's Day. If you get a chance in the future to go down there and listen to that, them play the Irish songs, it's really something else.
And they just do it on St. Patrick's Day?
Yes. It's this group of guys, and it is phenomenal. Yeah. It's packed there.
And they serve corned beef and cabbage.
They serve the best corned beef and cabbage. D Noble will tell you is the best corned beef and cabbage.
I love Irish soda bread. I don't know. The Common Crow had an amazing batch of it. It was just fabulous. Yeah.
Well, if anybody, I'm going to end with this thing too. At Stop and Shop and at Market Basket, I think they're probably going to have them for a while. They have these like 4-pound briskets, corned beef briskets.
Oh.
They're like they're normally like $5 a pound. They're like $1.80 a pound. Oh. They're tremendous right. values. I cooked one the other day. The girls, like in one day, we devoured the whole thing.
Wow,
it was so
great.
Good.
Good for them.
Yeah. So anyway, that's our podcast.
Okay.
GloucesterCast 268 with John Butcher, Aurelia Nelson. I want to say John Butcher Axis.
I know, but it's John Butcher.
It's John Butcher.
I know.
John Butcher, Aurelia Nelson, my friend Kim Smith, and your host, Joey Shimataro. Thanks for listening.